Okay, hello everybody. It's the Fakeologist speaking. It is Wednesday, August the 17th, 2024. This is the weekly show I do with Fake Nukes Phil, so we will get right at it and say, welcome Fake Nukes. How are you doing this week?
Good, Fakeologist. Glad to be here.
Glad you're here. It's been an exciting week here. Non-fakeologist stuff, of course. I got a lot of stuff with the website going on. We have a big show tomorrow with Tim Osmond. I'm not sure if you've met him before, but we're going to look at the so-called shooting of a guy into space and see if it really is a body that came flying down. I sent it to you in the email at phil@fakeologist.com. I was hoping that Fake Nukes Phil could look at it with his expert eye and rubber babies and dolls and flying dummies.
Yeah.
I think you could be the internet's leading expert on that at this point. So did you get that email?
I haven't had a chance to check my emails yet. You know,
I had
three jobs tonight or today. And
oh, you're busy as all get out. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I figured, I know you're busy and it's probably just
I see it.
It's in the big queue of things to look at.
But, I see it here.
I'm not sure that I just wanted to give you the subject. I know you're able to research on your own and maybe find some other videos around this topic, but there is a truther named Tim Osmond that I do have on the show now and then. I do like the guy. We agree on a ton of stuff, but this last thing with this stunt guy who is sort of like an Evel Knievel type that launched himself into the air with a steam rocket is just to me it's Super Dave Osborne territory.
Okay.
Super Dave?
No.
Oh, do you remember the show Bizarre that from the 80s?
No.
Okay. Well, there was a character on there named Super Dave Osborne. He was an Evel Knievel type.
Okay.
That did dumb stunts, and of course, he always got killed in the stunts. That was the gag, you see.
Oh, okay.
But of course, the real guy in the show didn't get killed. A very obvious dummy was always the one that got run over by the truck or crushed by the...
Okay.
It was just a satire on Evel Knievel, I think, basically.
And he was pretty funny.
It was like a retarded Evel Knievel. Let's put it that way. Anyway, when I saw the Mike Hughes video, I thought, man, that reminds me of Super Dave Osborne. And he even had his own show for a while. It was a spinoff of the original comedy show. Anyway, if there's anyone out there that has seen it, let me know. But we are on Twitter. We're on YouTube.
That's the supposed flat Earth guy that crashed himself in his homemade rocket.
Yep.
And so Tim Osmond thinks that was real.
He says it was real. Yeah. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it was real.
You're already dismissing it out of hand. So that's great.
I'll watch the video, a quick
assessment.
But it just never made sense to me. Do you know
the story?
I was briefly briefed on it when it happened. I seem to think it was like 3 years ago, and he wanted to prove the Earth was flat by going up in his homemade rocket and take some photos. And then it crashed, and it gave everybody an excuse to laugh at flat earthers. And it was just, I totally saw it as a stunt just to get everybody to laugh at flat earthers.
Yeah.
And so if he's found some, I mean, okay. So Tim Osmond thinks it's real. So do we have a picture of Mike? What's his name? Mike Hughes. Mm-hmm. Mad Mike Hughes. Do we have a picture of his corpse that's in the rocket? I mean, obviously, when he crashed, did the body vaporize like on 9/11? Or were there any remains there at the crash site? I would need to see the remains of Mike Hughes in order to believe that it was real. And you know me. I'm always asking to see the body. And, you know, it's pretty much where you start on every case. I mean, every court case has to have a body. And if you don't have a body, we can't even proceed. it's like you can't even prove anybody, you can't even prove a crime has been committed. So we can't even proceed in the trial, you know. So yeah, we got to get that pesky thing out of the way first.
Yeah, what is that? When there's no body, it's something habeas corpus. Maybe that's the legal term, something like that. I don't know if that, I know corpus is body, but yeah, you need a body to proceed. You're right.
Mm-hmm. I guess there's a rare case where they convict when there's no body, but in most cases you need a body. And I'm a most cases guy, and I know how the media pulls their trick. And so I need to see the body before I can even proceed in analyzing any conspiracy theory about the situation.
And habeas corpus is from medieval Latin, literally that you have the body.
Okay.
Is a recourse in law in which a report can be made to a court in the events of unlawful detention or imprisonment. Okay. Requesting that the court order the person's custodian, usually a prison official, to bring the prisoner to court to determine whether to, Okay, well, it's not quite the same, but it's at least we got the words right. I knew that it meant something about you have to have the body.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty good.
Okay.
You're up on your legal jargon.
My Latin. I love Latin. I think we should all learn Latin if we want to get clues to what the hell's going on in this world, because the legal profession uses Latin, and of course, the Bible was written in Latin for the longest time, just so the people in control could keep it that way.
Yeah.
I always thought
it was written in Aramaic and Greek.
The Bible?
Hebrew. Yeah, the Dead Sea Scrolls were written in Aramaic and Greek and Hebrew. And so that they always say that those were the original languages, because they want to make the Dead Sea Scrolls, you know, seem real. I studied the Dead Sea Scrolls for 27 years. I needed to get to the bottom as to whether or not this was the real Israel or a fake Israel, because half of the world thinks it's real and the other half thinks it's fake. And so, to me, that was the most important thing of our generation, is to figure out what the heck's going on with this. Because for 2,000 years, Israel's only been a mythical place written in the pages of the Bible.
Right.
But in 1947, it became a physical place with borders that you can go visit over there in Palestine.
Okay, yeah.
And so it's like, this is very important in a historical sense. We need to figure out, is this it? I mean, did the mythical Israel actually come to life and is a real place now? I mean, any historian who wants to get to the bottom of our times, you know, I think this is the number one question. I came to find out that the Dead Sea Scrolls were a rabbit hole. Many of the caves you could literally walk into. You didn't need to throw a rope down. And they said that these scrolls were in there for 2,000 years, and nobody bothered to walk into these caves for 2,000 years. It's like, no, no, people would have walked into these caves and found these things. But it was just designed to get you to think that, you know, these ancient manuscripts were written in Hebrew. That means the Jews have a right to be here. This is their ancient homeland. But they may have been some old transcripts, but they were just placed in those caves. You know, it doesn't.
I think Jim Rizzoli, the guy that you talk to once a week.
Yeah.
He does a lot of studying on this. And I think it might have been his video that they were saying that they weren't even going to call it Israel when they set it up. It was going to be called a couple other things, and I can't remember what they were right off the top of my head. But they settled on Israel, just probably for what you just said, for the reasons.
Yeah, because they wanted to make it seem like the Bible's coming to life. Well, no, this is not the real Israel from the Bible, and it's a total phony. The question I set off to answer, I've answered to my satisfaction. You need to know the truth about World War II before you even begin to study the Dead Sea Scrolls, and before you to get your proper footing on how Israel got its footing, got its start. It started out of the ashes of Europe, when Europe had been thrown into the most deadliest war in human history, and then from those ashes came Israel. That's not a very righteous beginning, that a whole continent had to burn for you to get a start to your country. I found and now that I know how the media lies to us on a daily basis, and the media is owned by the Jews, And so I know the truth now. I know exactly why the Germans wanted him out. I know why these people, the Jews, cause a whole bunch of problems in humanity. They just lie to us all the time.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they're guilty of murder, though. See, this is the thing. And people get mad at me. They say, Phil, how can you say the Jews aren't? It's like, well, the Jews trick us to do the killing for them. That's what the Jews do. And they've always done that. They did that to the Romans, and they tricked Pontius Pilate to kill Jesus. And because the Pharisees weren't going to kill him themselves, they were going to trick the Romans to do it for him. And that's exactly, they tricked us to go kill Hitler, to go kill the German people. They, with their media telling us how evil the Germans were, we were tricked to travel across an ocean and to invade Europe, thinking that it was in self-defense. It's like you're invading another continent. It's not self-defense. But the average American has to go through freaking multiple mental gymnastics to even think that war was justified or righteous. And it's really, that's how upside down this world is.
That is for sure. It is upside down world. Okay, so what have you been up to this week? Here's your channel here. I'm not sure why I'm not getting the shared link here. Let me just share the page again real quick and make sure it shares. And there we go. Okay, now I can see it. So there's Fake Nukes Phil channel here. So what have you covered this week? So we've already done
We've done lots of Gaza, you know, and more fake rescues, more fake crying, more fake blood. And those are easy to find, Instagram. But I found this girl, this Tammy Michaels.
Yeah,
and
you're doing 9/11 stuff again.
Yeah, because I found out that guy's name who did that video. I've covered this video on previous videos, and I was asking the audience, who is this? Who filmed this?
These 9/11 jumper videos?
Yeah, and you know, nobody could give me an answer, but I found it on Instagram. Somebody had posted it. The guy's name is Guy Rosebrook. Right. Okay. And so once I knew the guy's name, I typed it in, and he's like this epicenter of information about the jumpers on 9/11.
He's the jumper guy.
Yeah, he's the jumper guy. He's like the Harley guy of the jumpers. Remember how the Harley guy came out and he filled in all the blanks? Because that day our minds were confused when those buildings collapsed. We were wondering, is that how normal buildings look when they collapse? Because you know, most of us have seen controlled demolitions before, and it didn't quite look like what we saw on 9/11. What we saw on 9/11 was like a fountain of dust that collapsed, you know, at free fall speed. And that didn't look, it looked weird. But the Harley guy was sent out to fill in all the blanks and to ease our minds and to say, I saw the airplane ream through the building and the fire was too intense and the building just collapsed. And so, oh, okay. So we went to bed that night, settled. Oh, okay. It makes sense. I don't have to be a conspiracy theorist. I don't have to look at this any further. Harley guy just answered all my questions. And so a lot of us, when we were seeing these jumpers jumping out the window, we were horrified thinking, oh my God, what's going to happen when that body hits the sidewalk? I mean, our imaginations went wild. And so Guy Rosebrook and his wife, Tammy Michaels, were sent out to fill in the gaps of our missing items in our imagination. And they told it because they had the clear view of the people jumping out and landing in the courtyard there at right on the sidewalk, right in the and they were videoing it. And they were describing how the bodies would just deteriorate. They would just vaporize when they hit the ground. It's like, oh, well, that's convenient. No, I would expect to see a freaking bag of blood just squirting everywhere. That's what I would expect to see. And when Guy zoomed in with his camera to a spot where like four people had jumped on the sidewalk, it didn't look like bags of blood. It looked like stupid little figures that were inserted in the video that were like red, but it wasn't like a splatter. There should have been a river of blood coming from that spot because four people had hit the same spot. You would see a river of blood coming from it, but it was and the video had multiple splices in it. I mean, you can tell the video's been doctored just over and over again. And so this guy Rosebrook, he's a media guy. He works for a company in Seattle that does media stuff. And his wife Tammy, she does her own show. She's Jewish, by the way. and she does her own show for years. She's also in the media, and they just happened to be the ones who had the bird's eye perfect view of the jumpers jumping to their desks, and, right. and had their video camera to film it. And so, yeah,
it's always the media guy. I think that's the main thing that I like. September Clues revealed that it's always the media and their minions.
Yes. Yes. And so here's the thing. See, Tammy is Jewish, and she was putting out the she wanted us to think that these jumpers were real and that these human beings actually hit the ground. And she said she was praying in a Catholic prayer, even though she was Jewish. She was praying in a Catholic prayer because she thought that most of the people that were jumping were Catholic, and she wanted to be one. She wanted to be praying to their God. And so, and that's what exactly what Tammy said. So the Jews wanted us to think that people died on 9/11 and that the Jews were behind it. Just like in Gaza right now, the Jews want us to think that people are dying over there. And they want us to also think that the Jews are the bad guys. And so the Jews don't care if we think they're the bad guys. They don't care. They just want us to think that death is real. That's what they just want us to think, that the war is real, or that the 9/11 was real. And that the only thing they care about. They don't care if we hate their guts. They don't care if we think we got to, for me and, you know, my gang, we got to reset our thinking on this subject. And, you know, they're so eager to hang all the Jews because the Jews are behind all the evil in the world. Well, here's the deal. The Jews get a lot of help. Now, the Jews are the liars at the top. They control the banks, and they control the money
flow. I would
flow.
Say, I always say they're the managers, but you say they're in charge. I say they're the managers. They
well,
work.
I don't think the Freemasons print the money. The Jews print the money. The Federal Reserve is a Jewish organization.
I don't think the Freemasons are at the top either, but carry on. I agree they're the managers.
Well, okay, yeah. And maybe as the managers, they're allowed to print the money, but regardless... they're the ones who control the media, and maybe someone is telling the Jews how to control the media. I mean, maybe that's possible, but the Jews control the media. And from what I can see, you know, we can't trust a word from the media. And so
well, that is the whole point of everything we research. It's the media.
Yeah.
They're the tool for the people that own everything. Mm-hmm. They don't work for us. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well,
I was just trying to log into Reddit to see some of these pictures that were on Instagram. So, but anyway, I think these are the Instagram pictures here, maybe that you were grabbing off.
Or is this from?
It says 911 WT Archives, but yeah, Guy Rosbrook. I never heard of Guy Rosbrook, so this is good research you're doing.
Yeah. Here. So this is the first time I heard of him too, and it was just. When I typed in his name, it just brought me to the center of the jumper story. And right. It's like, oh, okay, this is the key to the jumper story. Because that video, I posted it at more than 6 months ago. I said, this is the best evidence they have that people were jumping out of windows. And I don't know who filmed this, but as you can see, this guy has a clear view of the jumpers jumping out the window and then hitting the sidewalk. And so now it makes sense. It was all... He was the guy that was sent out to give the best video of the jumpers, and him and his wife are media people.
Uh-huh.
And
this was allegedly from a NIST FOIA request 0-09-42 release 27, whenever that was. So we've got some stuff here on the YouTube. Did you get it off the YouTube channel or Instagram?
I got it off the Instagram, but then once I knew the guy's name, I went to YouTube so I can get a higher quality video of it. And I was able to find it on YouTube, and then I was able to do my video editing, and I edited it down to about 3 minutes from a 25 minute video, and to make it shorter. And yeah,
so you got, okay, so here we go. All right, we had some
That was a person.
Yeah, that's Tammy right there. You hear that is a person. Oh, it's another person.
Yeah, in case you're too dense to figure out what's coming out of the window, right?
Yeah.
Oh no, there's a person, Tammy. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
It's another person, Tammy.
Oh,
I put these on Fake Otube. I lifted these off your channel, put them on my channel as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, you know, this is two actors pretending like they're seeing people jump out of a window and pretending to film it.
Was that the other plane that was quickly came into the audio? Did you hear that?
I'm at the Millennium Hotel.
You know, that's what I thought when I first heard it, but it doesn't, they don't react to it. They don't react. And so I'm not sure what that was. Just something messing with the audio, just like he messed with the video the entire time. He's always splitting, splicing all the time. In the
One thing about the so-called eyewitness video all the time, it's always really herky-jerky.
Yeah.
That's another feature, I guess, that they were instructed to. It just makes it hard to track and follow, I guess, is the main reason you do that. Okay, so this is good. Phil is one of the only people that's analyzing 9/11 stuff in 2024, so.
Yeah. Well, I think it's still important. It's one of the cornerstones, one of the four top hoaxes of our time. And
absolutely, yeah.
And they're still pulling the same stunts to this day. I mean, even in Gaza. And so we got to know the 9/11 template. And the jumpers have always fascinated me because the jumpers had to have been faked. But if you ask the average person, they'll say, I saw the people jump from the windows with my own eyes. And you say, well, no, you saw a movie production. You saw, you know, there was a movie called Skyscraper that came out in 1996. And that showed people jumping out of windows too. It's like, did you see it with your own eyes or were you watching a Hollywood movie? Okay, so the same thing with 9/11. Did you really see it with your own eyes or did you watch a Hollywood movie? And so, no, this is, but the jumper aspect just shows how diabolical the mind was. The people who invented this hoax, who imagined it, they were just diabolical in their mind. And these are the people that rule over us. It goes to the depth of their evilness and how they want to traumatize us. And because the jumpers were a traumatizing thing, time stamped, you know, an MK Ultra stamp on our soul, on our memory, you know. And so we got to, when they reveal their psychology to us, we've got to exploit it and got to get a psychological breakdown on these people who rule over us. And to find their weakness is to find the weakness. And, you know.
And by the way, hopefully you've taken a look at Simon Schack's research on cruiseform.info. I still think it's the number one place to do your research. Mm-hmm. And he has a pretty good thread on the falling man / the phony jumpers.
Yeah.
He's got a pretty good video on the midget man who allegedly punched a hole in the glass in 1993 during the so-called garage bombing. So this is over here too, and he grabs the clip. I'm sure this clip has long since been deleted off Twitter. Mm-hmm. Oh no, it's still there actually. Oh wow, from 2018. So there's a lot of good. Simon's done a lot of research on that. So here he has a midget man instead of a King Kong man. So he's got King Kong man. Basically, everyone that they portrayed in the media hanging out the windows or looking out the windows are all out of proportion. Because we do know the height of the windows. That is a factual thing. So,
yeah.
So here's King Kong, man, who's way bigger, 12 feet tall, based on the scale that they're showing, hanging out the windows. So,
yeah, I've posted that video, or one similar. It was called 9/11, The Land of the Giants. And he dissects and he shows how these people are too big for the size of the window.
Would they make those mistakes again in 2024, or do they make those mistakes?
I think they would, because they do these mistakes on purpose, because they want people like us to notice it, and they want to gauge just how many people in the population actually notice it. And once they see that it's like 1% of the people even notice it, they don't have to worry about a thing, and they know that they've got it under control. And now if they make it like real obvious and like maybe 3 or 5% of the people notice it, then they know, oh, okay, so we went a little too far that time, and then they dial it back and they make the fakery a little bit less obvious next time. But it gives them the perfect idea of how well their propaganda is working. And so they're really experts at this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so.
So that's the nine. So there were two 9/11 videos that you did.
Yeah, it was one on the guy Rosebrook, and then the other one on his wife Tammy Michaels. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're both frauds. Both of them are media people, and they're actors.
And they're the ones that sold 9/11 as being real. And
they're the ones who sold the jumpers as being real. Yeah.
Or every aspect, yeah.
And I focused, and I could see them gathered in the windows. And within minutes, the first...
Are you getting this audio?
Male body.
Yes, I hear it.
There's a person, guys. There's people falling out.
There's people falling out. There's persons falling out.
When was this TV show from?
You mean that home improvement show that she did on YouTube?
Oh my god!
Oh, is that what she did? Yeah. No, yeah. I just saw the thumbnail. I was curious.
Yeah, that's Tammy Michaels on her YouTube channel doing her home improvement show.
Oh, I gotcha.
Okay. And you know, yeah, she's so, and I wasn't sure if it was the same Tammy Michaels until I went to her Facebook page. I said, "Oh my god, that is the same Tammy Michaels," and so. Yeah, that's
Tammy's
her.
Still in the media, still.
Yeah, that's her. The one who saw the jumpers jumping to their deaths, and there she is on her television show. You know, it's like, hello.
Yeah. Okay, what's this video about? Phil examines more 9/11 jumper fakery.
Yeah, I go through the best photos they got. Wife, famous photo of.
Okay.
Here's the photo that supposedly shows two dead jumpers. There's one. It looks like a pile of laundry. That's right. That guy supposedly just jumped 91 floors right there. Okay.
Okay. Got it.
So yeah. That I go through the best they got, and it's like, it's compelling.
Not that good. Yeah.
Yeah. They can't prove that any bodies hit the sidewalk. Like this guy with the legs hanging over.
Right. Yes. Yes. I think. Yeah.
It's a mannequin.
And they blurred it out.
It's a dummy. I think that was put there as a stage prop. See, you can see the legs hanging over the building there. But you don't see any blood. And
those, no, it's a very out of proportion dummy too.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the shoes would have come off or something, or you know, it's a mannequin. So yeah, this is the best stuff they have, that there is people falling out of the building, and it's not convincing. None of it. The only thing we have is Tammy Michaels and her husband, Guy Rosebrook. And I don't trust either one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And here's some pieces of, roast beef or ground beef they threw into the street. And it doesn't look like anything from a human body. And and that's another thing. They were throwing ground beef into the street.
Oh,
and
gross.
So who thought of that? Probably the same people who thought of the jumpers.
Right, right.
See, that's not that's a piece of ground round right there.
Yeah, that's a side of beef. Nasty. So, yeah.
You know, this goes very deep into their psychology, these people that thought this event up.
Gruesome.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that they're killers. It means that they're infatuated with Halloween gore and Halloween monsters. But it doesn't mean that doesn't make someone a murderer, though.
Right.
You know, we got to be careful. You see, I think what they do is they want us to bear false witness, and the more we bear false witness, the more we're going to go to hell with them.
Right.
And so we got to be careful as to what we charge these people with. And, you know, and some people want to grab their pitchforks and start hanging everybody. It's like, hold on. It's like, we got to find out our own culpability in this. What did we do once we were fooled by this shit? Now, I didn't sign up for the military. I was military age in 2001, but I was never going to fight for this country. Not after, what was that? Oklahoma City, when they fed me a a shovel full of bullshit. It's like, I'm never going to fight for you. Even I was 29 at the time, and you know what? I could tell that that was just bullshit that happened in Oklahoma.
Is that City. Right? Huh? Yeah, interesting.
And okay. I didn't know anything about crisis actors back then, but I just knew that there's no way a Ryder truck can do that damage to that building. It's like,
So you were kind of awake back then. That's pretty good.
Well, awake enough to where it's like, I'm not going to buy into any of this media crap and go and sign up for the military. Hell no. It's like, I'm not going to go fight for when I know my country's lying to me in the media. I'm not going to go fight. But a lot of people did sign up for the military after this 9/11 event. And, you know, we went over and did, I think, some bad things in Iraq and Afghanistan. And, you know, America at that time was like, we don't care whose ass we're going to kick. We just need to kick somebody's ass. And that's very dangerous.
I think they knew exactly where they wanted to go in, actually. I think everything was, there was no accident, but.
No, there's no accident.
There was no accident where they went. They had that intention the whole time. But I think the idea that Americans, they figured, are just so dumb and they have such little respect for Americans that they just figured it's all conflated into one big area anyway. And that's what they were going to do. Americans don't really care where they go.
Yeah. So
you're still getting tons of Gaza's footage. Still.
Yeah. So this Instagram is just a gold, you know, it makes, you know, when I'm bored, I can just go on Instagram for about 3 minutes and find a video and post it. You know, it's like, they're so
getting
easy.
Any better. We got some.
No, here's a boy that has obvious fake blood on him and they rip his shirt and you can see he's got no injury and she's wiping his face, but the blood doesn't keep coming out. That wound is not bleeding. It's not an active. You see, they pull up his shirt and there's no injury there. You know, and it's
I had to treat a wound on my daughter's head today when she hit a locker at school. And the blood did not stop coming out of the top of her head, so it took quite a while to staunch it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and you had to apply constant pressure.
That's what she did. Yeah,
none of these people are applying constant pressure. They always come in and they start dabbing them with a napkin. It's like, you don't dab a wound. You apply constant pressure to keep that thing from gushing out.
Until it stops, staunch the flow.
And here's a boy, his whole family got murdered and he's crying. Or wait, no, he's not crying. He's doing a fake cry. It's one of the most unconvincing fake cries.
Hold time.
Here's our
11
first Skype call.
Seconds.
Sorry, I should start Skype. Hey, Skype, what's going on?
Hey, gents, it's Rick in Arizona.
Hey, Rick.
How's it going? Sorry, I just turned the Skype on. Every time you call, I remind myself to turn on Skype, so go for it.
One thing Alex Jones did do in his career is, you know, that first, that 9/11, the road to tyranny, he had the local media broadcast of the events that happened that day in Oklahoma City. And everybody, even Governor Keating said the bombs were in the building. They had the bomb squad there and the bombs were in the building and there were still two bombs left over. And then by the end of the night, and actually it was Merrick Garland, our attorney general, made his bones and he was in charge of the investigation. And that's how we got Tim McVeigh. But those bombs were inside the building that day. Okay. And did you know in the first six months of 1994, O.J. Simpson, Michael Jackson, and Arsenio Hall were all destroyed. Michael was accused of being a child molester. Arsenio Hall, you remember him?
Yeah.
He was abruptly he was canceled and never to be seen again. 3 weeks before O.J. allegedly killed his wife.
Right.
Now Arsenio had Farrakhan on his show, and Farrakhan uncorked the secret that the Jews were the slave trade before the Civil War.
Oh.
And so there's a link here between Michael, Arsenio, and OJ. And OJ's popularity was worldwide. And you never know, the killers of Hollywood, in all likelihood, it is his wife and Ron Goldman and they framed him and destroyed his reputation. Nobody would listen to O.J. Simpson. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't listen to Michael. The media never covered Michael Jackson, what he said. So, but there's a link in the first 6 months. Though they were the three biggest entertainers at the time.
Boris said MC Hammer was destroyed too.
Yeah, look at anybody that they didn't trust to keep their mouth shut was destroyed. Michael, he's dead. Prince, he's dead. Whitney, she's dead. So
allegedly, their characters are dead.
Their characters died. Yeah.
If you think that, whatever, they faked their death. Dream on, man. I mean, you're out of your mind. These people are deader than a doornail.
I'm not out of my mind.
I mean, why would Whitney Houston just turn her life upside down when she was on top of the world? Nah. Anyway, that's all I got to say. Thanks for taking the call.
You're welcome. But I do appreciate. I like Minister Farrakhan. I do like watching his stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He seems to be speaking the truth, but I don't trust anyone in the media. Sorry. And I think there were a couple Michael Jacksons. And as for Whitney Houston, who knows what the hell happened to that entity, whether you think it's a woman or a castrato, but I think there's problems.
Didn't Whitney Houston's daughter also drown in a bathtub?
Right, exactly.
See, when I heard that, my bullshit meter went off. It's like, oh, hello, that doesn't happen twice.
And I also add other strange elements because I think that some of these singers are castrados, so they have extreme problems once the hormones start to wear off, because the hormones don't work as well when they get older, so they have a limited shelf life. There are other elements to all this. Okay, looks like you want to take a call from Dave seconds. J.
Oh, yeah. I see Dave J is getting a little...
Dave J is flooding the comments, so he's not flooding the comments. House. He must be on the phone.
I'm in the house.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, Dave J,
when are you starting your own show?
Hey,
you have so much content.
I don't know yet.
I think the Dave J show would do well.
Well, I will tell you this, though. I'm looking forward to the Mike Hughes
deep dancing
tomorrow.
Well, you're welcome to call in tomorrow.
I will be. Oh, don't you worry about that. Hey, but Phil, I just want you to know something that I was listening to today, and the biggest takeaway I have is that you're trying to give excuses to liars. And here's where I make the separation. They are, in fact, spiritual murderers, because they quite frankly place corpses in front of you and ask you to consume a story of death. And then not only that, but react to it in the physical existence by doing this, that, or the other thing, whatever the drive is or the rivet.
Uh-huh.
But then spreading that news to your neighbor. And then thus your household reacts, even in your off time, to that story by watching the news and consuming the so-called details. So then if you fail to call a murderer, what happens then? They might not then stop and say, wait a minute, what did you say? I said, you're a spiritual murderer. Why is that? Well, because you're doing this, that, and the other thing. And then how can I stop that? Well, stop lying. And the only way you can love your neighbor is to not lie to them. All right? Because you have to tell people sometimes something that's not pleasant. Sometimes you have to tell something, right? But if you're not lying to them, you're not murdering them. Because what does it say? It says in the book that if you hate your neighbor, you murder them. So I love all my neighbors, and I don't want them to fall into any of these holes. That's the only way to show love. So then you can have your own idea, but you just can't change the script to kind of fancy your own opinion. The script, that's the idea of the Bible. The scripture says that if you hate your brother, then you basically murdered him. And to hate someone is to lie to them, right? So then even if you cloak that in the idea of, oh, I'm doing research, when you miss that Millennium Hotel reference, that's a big one, because the Millennium Hotel references that entire Ground Zero as a stage prop, as a set. That Millennium Hotel then leads you into the idea of all the movie references, whether it be the space, what's the one, 2001 Space Odyssey, where that idea, that Millennium Falcon or oblong cube, bears witness to the idea of the towers coming down, or in reference of like the occult, your mind being collapsed, and then a new idea or a new spire being placed in it instead. The idea that
I missed that in 2001. Honestly, I watched that movie a few times.
Yeah. So the So if you look at the Millennium Hotel on the Ground Zero map, just look at it from above. There's a bunch of photos on Google. You will see how it's set up as basically standing off as a witness. And then that's the same role that monolith plays throughout the 2001 movie. You notice how it shows up at each kind of change in scene as a witness to that scene. So everything played out kind of scripturally. Yeah. So anyways, here's the best thing. If you can get through each day without falsely witnessing death, you have beat the game. All right. Mm-hmm. So be blessed. I look forward to you guys tomorrow. All right, because we're going to de-pants the Tim Osmond character.
Yeah, Tim Osmond's on tomorrow. Tomorrow's Phil's day off.
Did you get that? Yeah, did you get that video I sent you with the Stavely character who's talking about Mad Mike?
No,
send it to you.
Where did you send it?
I asked Brian to send it to you on Discord. It's a 2-hour chat that Brian Stavely had at the time. Like literally, this is. So you're hearing kind of what people are talking about at the time. You only need to listen to the first 20 to 30 minutes to kind of get the idea of where he's going with it. And I'll just leave you at that. I don't want to.
All right.
Brian will send it to you. But that's some good research for your show tomorrow. You'll have an idea of really what people were saying at the time because he takes a few call-ins. You'll be interested in.
I will. Brian didn't send me anything. So I'm on.
No, he
didn't email it to me. Can you tell him to send it one more time, please? That might be a good idea.
Sure, I'll get in Discord and send it to you. But if not, I'll send it to you another way, maybe on Twitter or something.
Email. Ima@fakeologist.com.
Oh, gotcha.
Ima@fakeologist.com.
I'll do that.
That would be fantastic.
I'll do that. Well, thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Dave J.
All right, bye-bye. There goes Dave J. Always interesting, always on fire.
Yeah.
He's a dominant force in the comments. The only thing I ask, I get the odd complaint about people that flood the comments. If you could just leave a few comments and not just totally drown out the other people, that'd be good. Because some people are a little shy. So when someone else is comment flooding, they do complain. And then they say that it's just a little too overwhelming. So anyway.
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, I know. I get sometimes I have to block them because they spam my comment section.
Yeah, that's true. And same with Jim, and he says rightly that start your own BitChute channel and flood your own comment section.
Yeah. Oh, that's what that happened this week. I got my own channel that set out to debunk me. A nemesis.
Yeah, I watched it and he didn't debunk one thing. So I'm looking. I had to stop at 4 videos because, listen, you can do your own work. Put your own work up there. Phil has.
Yeah, he didn't show a single photograph or anything to prove his point. He just said England had a policy not to photograph dead bodies. And I said, well, yes, I know that England had a policy not to photograph dead bodies because they didn't show any and they didn't prove to the world that there were any dead people in London. I mean, and that's a big problem. And it's the same thing with the Americans at Pearl Harbor. Are you telling me you didn't take photos of all those sailors that got killed when you say the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor? I mean, if you didn't take photos of the dead sailors, so that means it didn't happen. That means the Japanese were nowhere near Hawaii. And that explains exactly why you put all the Japanese people into internment camps, because you didn't want them telling these Americans what really happened at Pearl Harbor. And that's exactly why the Americans put the Japanese in internment camps. And it was all to protect the hoax that we just blew up our own battleships and they were empty. Nobody died. And we started the biggest war in human history based upon a huge, big, fat lie. Yeah. And we declared war on December 8th. And then the Axis powers declared war 3 days later. So it was the Americans who declared war first after their stunt at Pearl Harbor. Okay, so everybody's telling me, well, Germany shouldn't have declared war in the United States. Well, they had no choice because the United States had already declared war on them. And right. So what are the Germans supposed to do? And so, you know, it was all a provocation
for sure.
Yeah, so, you know, the Allied powers never took any photos of dead civilians. What they did is they just told us that we were suffering all these civilian casualties, but they never gave us any photos of it. Meanwhile, the Germans are taking hundreds of photos of dead civilians on their side, and up close, no doubt about it, photos. You know, whereas the Americans, when they did provide a photo, it was like from a distance, far away. And it's like, come on. It's like, that's a guy sitting in a car. That's not somebody dead. You know, that doesn't even compare to the photos that we saw from Germany. The rape victims we saw from Germany, these women that had been raped multiple times, their faces were swollen. Their women were committing suicide because they didn't want to be raped. No, you know, yeah. So,
okay, what else?
Say everything was fake. No, I think World War II was a real war against the German people. And we had to make sure that they would never rise again. As
well, they had to make sure that the idea of National Socialism never rose again either, because
it was also that group of people, those people there in Germany during 1933, 1935, those people had to stop having babies. It was a genocide against that certain group of people. And we succeeded. And after we genocided that group of people, Germany looks vastly different today. So there has been a group of people that have been removed from the planet, and that we've got hundreds of hours of home movies from Germany back in those days. And I'm telling you, those people don't exist anymore. All those faces, all those beautiful people that are in those home movies, they're not here anymore. They've been genocided. They're only here in small numbers. Germany was making it to where they'd be here in large numbers. We had to make sure that they were having a baby boom over in Germany, and we had to stop that. They were having 4 babies per family. And that's one of the biggest reasons why World War II had to happen when it did, because we had to stop that baby boom that was happening in Germany.
Well, it's all about the success of National Socialism and what was it. And that's what needs to be investigated as well, I think, because everything else is a sideshow. Is it? They didn't want nations rising up on their own. They wanted this interlacing. So the whole world economy is interdependent. So no one country can become in any way powerful. And that's what we're seeing now. Look at our countries now. Our countries, at least Canada, really doesn't have any industry to, you know, we might supply an industry in another country, but we're not at all self-dependent. And today, you know, we have oil in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And today and tomorrow, the price of gas is going up 60 cents a gallon in your terms.
Wow.
Why? What's going on? We have oil. So because we're all integrated into this world economy, we can't even control our own energy. We don't have a say in it. So to me, that's one of the things. Anyway, Dave, you called in already. So one call per night, please, if you don't mind.
I set him off with talking about World War II.
Oh, no.
He wants to say that war was fake also. And, it was a war of relocation, that's for sure. It relocated a whole bunch of Eastern mongrels into Europe. And now Europe, it looks completely different than it did 80 years ago. And so, yeah, it was a war of relocation. And who gets the short end of the stick whenever there's a relocation? Yeah, it's Europe and European countries always gets the short end of the stick.
Okay.
And so it's clearly the war is against Europe and the heart of Europe.
Yes.
And,
all right. What else we got? What else we got this week? You've been busy this week in terms of your regular work, because you're normal. Well, I guess your output's been pretty prolific today too.
Yeah, you know, my normal work is getting busy. I've noticed that rise in gas prices today. I'm happy that I have a motorcycle that I can do a lot of my appointments on my motorcycle.
Did you get a big hike today, or is it tomorrow?
A hike?
How big was your gas?
Well, hike? Yeah, I noticed it at 50 cents extra today at the gas
station.
Yeah.
So you got it a day early, because we're getting it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, so you did get whacked. So I know California gets it pretty bad. I couldn't figure out a reason why. I was looking at my commodities charts, and the wholesale gasoline didn't go up. We already had a tax rise here on April 1st. So I was trying to figure out why tomorrow, or in your case today.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, but
energy is a way to control people. That's for sure. And they know
they're certainly getting their money back from that COVID thing. I think they've repaid themselves plus some with all the inflation and all the extra gas prices. And I knew they would because
they're not done yet. They're not done yet. I watched this guy, Dan from California, and he's walking around in Venice or the LA area. And man, he's got nothing but bad news about California. Do you find the same thing where you are there?
I'm in one of the last
areas.
I'm in one of the last remaining holdouts, but it's getting bad where I'm at. It's only a matter of 5 years before we start looking like the east end of the valley. And, you know, and I talked to my elder neighbors, and they sense it also, but they usually say something like, well, I'll be dead by then. Or they'll say something like, well, I got mine, you know. And so these elderly people,
like baby boomer mentality,
these people knew that the country is going to hell in a handbasket, and they just had to make sure that they got theirs first. It's like, how selfish. And you know, I just feel like slapping them, even though they're like 15 years older than me. I want to slap them. It's like the country's a mess because you did nothing. All you did was just chase the dollar entire life.
Consume, and leave us a big debt holding the bag. Yeah. I think there's a ton of resentment. People younger than us, the generation after me, they're very resentful of what they've been handed. Yeah. Here you go. Here's some decaying infrastructure and a big, massive debt. Good luck getting out of this one.
Oh, yeah.
Enjoy being a debt slave.
I think they were at 33 trillion in this country with debt. Yeah. They made that magic number.
Yeah. It's an impossible number to get out of.
Yeah. So,
okay. Well, we've been going for about an hour, which is pretty good. And hopefully
we took a couple calls.
We took a couple calls. That was good too. And, it's more Gaza, I guess, for the next week. And there's been a couple little PSYOP hoaxes going on. Something happened in Copenhagen. I think something was on fire. And do you end up looking at every little thing that comes your way? Or are you just, you're very specific?
No, I took a glance at that stabbing in Australia.
Oh, right.
I uploaded a couple videos showing one reporter that was, you know, smiling. And so, you know, not the the reactions of the crisis actors were typical, not people that have not seen a traumatic event, you know. But I think I uploaded two videos on it and I just moved on. But, you know, you've seen this.
Go ahead.
You've seen one and you've seen them all. You know, it's just there's so many. You can't cover them all.
Now, what's with these sort of freakish? Did we talk about this last week? These freakish babies that
that's an angle I'm aiming at Gaza. I notice these people on Instagram, and they have these Free Palestine accounts, and they're posting these crazy looking babies. It's like, what's going on there? And we did talk about it last week. It was about Aaron Dover, and he was on YouTube, and he had exposed the 2014 Intifada in Gaza and how fake it was, and they were using monster babies
back 10 years
ago also, and they were scared because they were saying the Israelis were using depleted uranium ammunition and it was causing these horrible birth defects, and it was just a way to again push the nuclear fake nukes agenda. And it was a way to traumatize us, just like the jumpers on 9/11, seeing all these freakish babies, and it just traumatizes us. More MK Ultra stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Because they really have this very unbelievable look to them, as in there's some kind of animatronic just a house of horrors, basically. This is Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
The character from the Howard Stern show with the tiny head. So it's kind of weak special effects, if you ask me.
Yeah. It's very poor. It's very amateurish. But I mean, it's well done. They look real. It's impossible. It's impossible that a baby could survive with that kind of deformity. You know.
Yeah, I agree there.
And so what you're looking, oh, and also the guys with no legs, or it's more than no legs. They have no stomach. I mean, they're literally amputated below the chest. And it's like, you can't live that way. How do you don't have any digestive system. There's no, it's impossible for you to, but they're releasing these videos and they look real. And the guy's walking on his hands and he's amputated below the chest. And it's like, that's not possible, but it looks very real though. And so they have the ability to make these amputations look very real. And so my point is, when they show us an amputated baby from Gaza, you know, a child with a missing leg or a missing arm, we can't trust those videos either, because we know they have the capability to make these amputee videos look very real. And so, I mean, look at that thing. I don't think that's possible that could survive.
No. And those are animatronic type eyeballs as well. Blue eyeballs popping out of the head. Yeah, I don't know how you can stand looking at this stuff day after day after day. Even if you know it's fake, it's still sort of really degrading stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, we're trying to get to the psychology of these people. You know,
they're ill.
Trying to figure out try to name the psychosis that they're under, so that we can find their weakness. Is kind of like, I guess, what I'm doing, because these people definitely have a psychotic disorder. I mean, they do, and we need to put a name to it and figure out. I hear the music.
Here's the music. It is still a beautiful world, Phil, isn't it?
I think so, and you know, there's hope. We're going to collapse the evil empire.
I got one email from someone who said they really like Devo since you requested it as your theme.
Oh, okay.
Song. Now they're going back in the Devo archives. So.
Yeah.
Helping people relive was this the 80s, I guess?
The 80s, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's some of the best music for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Phil, thanks a lot. And we'll see you on Jim's show on Friday. I always watch that one. I usually post it because you guys usually get some good material. So
everyone good.
To email Phil at fakeologist.com and go watch his BitChute channel, sign up, get his numbers over. I think you're getting close to 1,600 or so. 1,600 subscribers, so 1,587. So, yeah, go sign up for Phil's channel and share it. It's good stuff. He's putting in the work, whether you disagree or agree. I agree with most of it. So, and Phil gave his pronouncement earlier on the Mad Mike rocket launch, so-called death. So, I will definitely bring those points up with Tim tomorrow. Show us the body. That's your message, I think.
Yeah, right? Show us the body. Yeah, that's the message.
Show us the body. Would a coroner's report be good enough?
I would want to see the body, because they should plaster it over the internet, because they would say, look at this stupid flat earther. Look at what became of him. So that would be a photo that I would expect to see on the internet. And why isn't it there? You know.
Yeah,
they would show his corpse and say, this is what happens when you're a stupid flat earther. Yeah. So,
all right, Phil, I appreciate it. We'll bring it up tomorrow.
All right, buddy. All right.
Thank you. We'll see you next week.
See you next
Take
week.
Care. Thanks all for right. the effort. Okay. Bye. Right. There goes Phil. There goes me. Thank you. Phil is busy working hard, exposing media fakery, 9/11, Gaza, you name it. He's on it. We have a few things that we're disagreeing on, but overall, it's fun to go back and look at all the 9/11 stuff that he's digging up, names and videos and zooming in. It's good stuff. All right, tomorrow's going to be a big show. It's Frank's day, but Frank will be riding shotgun, as I have always offered to have him on. And Tim Osmond will be here. Probably do a joint broadcast again. And we'll take your phone calls. So if you want to do some homework now, go to fakeologist.com/blog or fakeologist.blog and take a look at the channel here. And here we go. Mad Show Thursday, April 18th. That has all the links to what we're going to be talking about. So go there, watch the video, and tell me what you think. What's your take on that? And call in. And we'll see if we're looking at more fakery. Okay. And don't forget, we are value for value. So if you like this show, please share the stream. Please consider making a donation. Value for value. You pay what you think the show is worth. We've had a few good donations this week. Let's keep it up. If you like even one show and think it's worth a coffee, it's a couple bucks a week, maybe $5 a week, look into it. All our archives are available. There's no paywalls. We try and make it as easy as possible. The audio chat seems to have disappeared off Apple Podcasts, but I've always told people, do not use Apple's native podcast app. Go download any other app. There's so many. There's Podverse, there's Fountain, there's Overcast, Podbean for Apple. There's so many. They all work. They all work. It's just the Apple podcast is so specific and picky that if something goes wrong, they just eliminate it from the roster. So just spend an extra 5 minutes, set up another podcast app on Apple and get that working. Now, tonight I'm going to try and fix the audio. People are complaining that the audio is too low. I'll try and boost it a bit and see what happens. The program I was using a few months ago, of course, I'm not using it because I can't figure out how to set it up, truth be told. So I'll try and make this show a little bit louder. Otherwise, it sounds pretty good on my phone. Yeah, okay, I have to turn the audio a little higher. But all podcasts, I find, are at different levels anyway. I don't think I'm really in the low end. I know there are louder podcasts, but otherwise, I think I'm in a pretty good range. But okay, we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Get ready. Have a good night.